And welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples here, hosting with Pottawatomie County Commission and Public Works today. We got the Pottawatomie County Commission Chair Travis Altenhofen to my right, Peter Clark, Public Works Director, on my left here. Gentlemen, good to have you both in here today.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to be here.
We always enjoy talking Pottawatomie County government. You guys had your meeting yesterday here, and we'll get into a lot of that discussion here. But, you know, what's on the minds of a lot of people still is the flooding. We've had a wet spring and now heading into summer and more chance for precipitation here tonight. We really don't need it, but I know that it's still on the mind of a lot of folks in Pottawatomie County especially.
I believe so. You know, with the amount of rain we received over the weekend, I know that it brought a lot of the focus back onto it. You know, for maybe a week or so, we had a little bit of a reprieve and not having to think about it as much, even though the levels at Tuttle Creek are still pretty high. But the 4+ inches of rain that the county received over the weekend, I think a lot of more people are thinking about flood issues, the levels on Tuttle Creek. And it's good to be aware of what's going on. So I think that it's a good thing to point people back to the county website, pottcounty.org, and also to our county Facebook page to get more information regarding what is going on with the county's actions, activity for flood preparations, and in case there is an event that needs to be managed, to be able to get information out to the public. I know those are both great sources of information to help the public know what will be going on within Pott County.
Well, and, just being notified, that's such an important part of this whole deal. And it's not that hard to do. I mean, there's misinformation that gets spread on social media all the time here, but if people have these updates and get them on their phone, that can be streamlined a lot easier.
Yep, and the other one thing we do have is the Everbridge system. So if you get signed up for that, you can get all the updates within the county on what's going on, from road closures to accidents and so forth.
And you can customize that. I know they hit my phone here anytime there's anything going on in Pott County. Let's talk a little bit about maybe some other things that are associated with flooding here that have caused significant damage in Pottawatomie County.
Well, when the weather first started to get a little bit dicey and we realized that Tuttle Creek was getting pretty high, we took a couple preliminary actions from a public work standpoint to protect infrastructure. Two primary assets that that we think a lot about in Pottawatomie County that affect a lot of people are in the Blue Township area. One is the, we call the Excel Road Lift Station, which is the main pump station that pumps all the sewer for the Blue Township sewer system back over to the city of Manhattan. Manhattan treats all the sewer for that sewer district that is on the east side of the river. That main lift station is critical to make sure that all those homes that are being served by sewer can continue to function. But it is also located on the south side of the railroad tracks, south on Excel Road, and is just within the 100-year floodplain. So for making sure that that location is protected so it can continue to operate, we built a temporary flood wall around that so that it can be protected in case, the Kansas River happened to come up. In addition to that, there's another facility that is also has some exposure, being on the south side of Highway 24, and that is the current EMS station for the county. It is located on Fielding Road, south of Highway 24, and it is also in that 100-year floodplain area, just barely. They're about the same elevation, the lift station and that EMS station. And we built another flood barrier around that so that in case floodwaters did come up, that both of those facilities would be protected. Access may be difficult in those cases to get in and out of those spots, but they would be protected for future use. The lift station would continue to operate, obviously, because it's run by generator and has remote controls in those locations. And the EMS station, I think there was a plan for temporarily relocating the EMS crews to another location while that facility would be inaccessible if the floodwaters did come.
And that's primarily based on the Tuttle Creek. If it were to have to be releasing more out of the tubes here.
Yep. As we did the scenario planning and thought about what different releases might come out of Tuttle Creek if they had if they released water out of the emergency spillway at certain levels, and if there were a certain amount of water already in the Kansas River, then we might experience different kinds of or different levels of flooding events. And we were preparing for, you know, some of the worst case scenarios in that scenario. And that was about a little over a month ago. We were in that process of really getting into those preparations as the lake got very full very quickly.
Yeah, and then still on the minds of a lot of us here is it now, I think, 1132.35 was our latest reading we saw this morning. So certainly not out of the woods as far as that's concerned. I know there's been a lot of road damage due to flooding here, especially in the northern part of the county, as I understand.
Well, it's been pretty widespread, but I'd say, like you just mentioned, in the north and in the northwestern part of the county is where we've seen some of the worst scenarios. In the very northwest, we have a number of roads that are completely underwater. Roads that were below the flood elevation of the lake that ran very close to the lake shore in some cases. And as the water came up, you know, in Tuttle Creek, those roads went underwater. So there's many areas where property is totally inaccessible, either because it's inundated or because the road to that property is underwater and you can't use it. We'll be waiting to see what the condition of those roads are when the water finally does eventually recede back to normal pool level, and we'll have access to those roads again. But we're expecting a considerable amount of repairs to those roads that were inundated, amount of debris that will have to be removed off of those roads as, in those areas, a lot of debris washed down from the Blue River and the Black Vermilion River and kind of filled up Tuttle Creek and a lot of areas where you have a lot of branches and other debris that have collected along the shores. And as the water recedes, it will stick in those spots, and we'll have to take a lot of effort to get that stuff removed.
And I'm sure they're used to flooding in that part of the county here, but that excess of flooding, have you seen anything like that in a while?
Well, I've not been a public works director for a terrible long time. Okay. I've been worked for the city of Manhattan for a couple of years and then came to the county in 2015. And in 2015, we did have some fairly high water levels on Tuttle Creek, but nothing to this degree. I think we had a couple roads, a couple small sections of road that went underwater in 2015. But this is considerably more than anything I've experienced thus far. And you have to harken back to, folks who were here in 1993 before you have a lot of experience with what the road conditions were like at that point in time. But it was very similar. The amount of rainfall and the amount of washouts on roads, because besides those roads that are inundated right now that are totally underwater, the remaining county roads have had considerable storm damage done to them. The amount of washouts that happened across the road, where drainage exceeded the capacity of the culverts and water washed over the road and washed out sections of the road. There's locations where we have a road that's on a steep hillside. That's fairly stable, but under the saturated soil conditions that carried over from the winter, because the winter was a fairly wet winter also. But in addition to that, with all the rainwater, the ground is so saturated that some of those steep hillsides, we had some landslides where basically the land next to the road sloughed off and fell down into the creeks. And that section of road became impassable because of an unsafe amount of stabilization of the ground next to it. So we've had to close some roads for that reason. We've had some culvert and drainage structures, some bridges, where the abutments have begun to fail because of the saturated conditions, like we've been talking about, or the excessive amount of runoff that's gone through those structures that started to wash away some of the structural elements on the bottom side of the bridge, or some wash away some of the dirt that's in the back behind the abutment so that it starts to settle. That's been primarily what we've been combating with road conditions. Probably the most common of all of them is just, like I said, that groundwater that starts to find a way out in some way. So you'll have a normal gravel road that after the rain event, it held up pretty good. It didn't have very much gravel wash away. And then all of a sudden, on a perfectly dry day, a spring will form up in the middle of the road. There's a spot where the groundwater finally found its way out, because groundwater doesn't move really fast, but it may take weeks or months for it to find its way out. And all of a sudden on a sunny day, it'll just start coming out of the section of road, and in a section of, 50 foot section of gravel road will just turn into mush in a couple of minutes. and people won't know about it until they start driving over it, and then they, you know, find that they sink down into that section of road and it looks like a perfectly normal road. And those are very difficult because they take time to be able to repair those. You can put rock, additional rock on it to try to firm up the road, but because the groundwater is coming from underneath, you know, you can eat up a lot of material before you're able to stabilize it again. And we have a lot of those throughout the county, and those are still continuing to crop up. You know, in that brief period of time between all the rain that happened earlier in May and the rain that's coming now, we had, you know, probably a couple dozen of those spring locations pop up. And we catalog those and we're tracking those because it's still interrelated with the weather. It just happens to be a delayed effect because of the groundwater movement.
And one thing we haven't talked about is, the sheer cost that's going to maybe be associated with this. And I know there's probably not a estimate at this point here because you just don't know. And some of those places still underwater. But does the county have enough funds here, or are you going to have some aid somewhere else to repair some of this damage?
We'll be financially fine to be able to weather the storm here. We've had some surplus carry over each year, so we might have to use this for to help address this, but nonetheless, we will financially be able to weather the storm here.
In addition to that, we are tagging all the work that we're doing related to storm events so that it is eligible if we're able to submit those costs for reimbursement through the FEMA. I don't know exactly, as I've never done that as a director, what all the process will be, but irregardless, we are making sure that all the work that we're doing related to storm and weather, that it's being tracked so that it can be packaged up and submitted for reimbursement if we're eligible, which from my understanding, we will be based on the discussions that have been had at the federal level regarding the level of disaster that we're looking at.
I know it's a slow process here. We do have a caller waiting here on the line. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Thank you for explaining the spring in the middle of the road on the northern section of Elbow Creek Road. I had always just associated that with the repair you did last year, but thank you for looking after that road. What concerns me is that over in Manhattan, they're spending that $13 million for the new police radios by federal request, and now they're talking about the ambulance radio and the fire department radio. But what is Butte County going to do about the federal demanded narrow bandwidth new radios? I haven't heard anything. Thank you.
All right.
One of the things we have been looking at is internally staff has been looking at what upgrades to the radio system would consist of, and that they're still working through some of the details on figuring out what different options and what do we really need. Our needs are a little bit different than Riley County, but nonetheless, we are looking at all the different technology and what we can do to address it, and if we really need to what extent do we need to do upgrades to the system that we already have in place. I know one of the issues is you get out in some of the areas with Road and Bridge and the Sheriff's Department, and we do lose coverage, and Peter probably can speak on a little bit more on that.
You know, we are in Kansas, and a lot of people think of Kansas as flat. I think Pottawatomie County is extremely hilly. You get up, you know, north of, you know, a mile north of Highway 24, and the topography is very, you know, very rolling and even very extreme in some cases if you get into the northwestern part of the county. Because of that, a lot of our crews or the sheriff's office, when they're down inside those canyon-like areas, you know, radio reception can be very difficult. As Travis mentioned, you know, we are looking at various options for improving the radio system. But irregardless, you know, as the caller mentioned, those options are expensive. You know, it takes a considerable amount of resources to be able to make a good radio system work. But it is money well spent when you have a system that can assist the public in carrying out your mission as a government organization.
Absolutely. Well, we have another caller here. Let's get to them. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yeah. The fire station in Olsburg, the old Pott County Fire Station, I know Travis has kind of been working on a little bit. Our Is anything getting resolved on that, on getting that property turned back over to the city?
That's a good question. The last kind of conversation as a commission we've had, it pretty much took a standstill, and internally staff is wanting to use that facility to keep spare equipment around. I'm not exactly sure where we're headed with it. I would personally like to see that it goes back to the city. That property, back when the original fire station was built, was given to us by the city for a dollar. And so I'd like to be able to see that go back to the city, but we've ran into some hurdles with state statutes and that, and trying to figure out how to make that happen. And so as of right now, it's kind of been on a standstill.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you for the question. We'll have more in focus here after this on News Radio KMAN.